So when I was a kid, I really loved getting toys and stuff. So I really loved to get Christmas presents. So in the weeks leading up to Christmas, as the presents would appear under the tree, I'd start to get really excited. But the problem was the presents were all wrapped up. And so I was really curious to know what they were. And I'd have to wait till Christmas morning till I could open them. And the wait, counting down the days until Christmas morning arrived, was really painful. Each day went so slowly, and I get more and more curious. I'd come, I'd take the presents each day, I'd feel them, have a smell, shake them around, try and peek through the wrappers, try and see what was in there. And then finally, December 25th, Christmas morning, would arrive, and I'd wake up very early, rush out to under the tree, and open up the presents. Christmas had arrived. Finally, after all those days of waiting, the wait was now over, and I could open the presents. Now, maybe you've never waited like me to open up Christmas presents, but I'm sure you know what it means to wait for something, because waiting is just part of life. We all have to wait for things, don't we? So sometimes what we wait for are small things, like waiting for the train or bus, waiting for your burger to get cooked, waiting for your computer to restart, things like that. But sometimes we have to wait for bigger and more significant things, like perhaps waiting for your exam results to find out if you can go to the next year, or waiting for the results of a job interview, or waiting for the right person to marry. Now, many people in our world have some sort of sense that there is a God or creator, a divine being who created and made our world, but they might not know very much about this God. And they're waiting for a sign from God, waiting for God to speak to them and reveal himself to them, waiting for something special that will come from God and grab their attention. So here's a sign on a highway in the US, in America, where it jokes around, has a bit of fun with this idea of waiting for a sign from God. Because a lot of people are waiting for some sort of sign, a special message or something mysterious or supernatural from God. And so here's this literal sign saying, here's this sign from God. Here's a news article from a couple of months ago. It's about Oprah Winfrey, the famous American talk show host and actress. It says that Oprah's waiting for a sign from God that she should run for president in the 2020 US presidential election. So a number of people have been encouraging Oprah to run for president, and included amongst these people are some billionaires that said, oh, we'll fund and run your campaign. But Oprah says she first needs confirmation from God before she will do this. So she said she's been praying to God, saying, God, if you think I'm supposed to run for president, you've got to tell me. And it has to be so clear that not even I can miss it. Well, Oprah hasn't yet got that sign from God. So at this stage, it doesn't look like she'll run for US president. Now, maybe you're not sure whether or not there is a God, though perhaps you're wondering, if there is a God, then what is he like? How can you find out more about God? Will he give you a special sign? Something to show you that he's there? And what will this sign be? Will it be a loud, deep voice just coming out of nowhere telling you what to do? Will it be a strange and mysterious feeling inside you? Will it be a rare event like a comet flashing across the sky, a miraculous healing, or something else? What sort of sign from God would it take to convince Oprah Winfrey that she should run for president? And what sort of sign might you be waiting for God for from God? Well, if you've been waiting for a sign from God or wondering about God and what he's like, then Christianity has some really good news for you, because you don't need to wait and keep looking for that special sign from God to you, because God has already given you some very clear signs. And he's shown us what he's like through three main signs, and these signs start more general and get clearer and clearer. So the first sign we have from God is the world around us. So this was just a photo from a holiday my family took in Terrigal just a few weeks ago. Our world's beautiful, isn't it? It's amazing landscapes of all different kinds. And then we've also got all sorts of weird and wonderful creatures and plants in our world. So this is known as the Venezuelan poodle moth, with the resemblance to a furry poodle. And this flower is known as the monkey orchid. You can probably see the monkey resemblance there. So all sorts of amazing stuff in our world. And then people, human beings, are incredibly diverse and complex. So I worked as a doctor in the past, spent many years studying about the human body and just learned how complex our body is. So the beauty, the complexity, the diversity of our world and the creatures in it tells us or points to the idea that there's a creator or a designer, a God who made it all. Now, if I come home from one day and see this in the living room, this Lego house, would I think that maybe these Lego pieces have just randomly come together like this? That this Lego house has just magically appeared out of nowhere? No, I'd realize that someone, most likely my kids or their friends, has made this. Because the presence of something that's complex, something that's creative, something that's ordered, tells us there must be a creator or designer. So the first sign God has given us is our world. God speaks to us through what he has made. The second sign God has given us is the Bible. The God and creator of our world has spoken and acted in human history. And these words and actions have been recorded for us in a book, the Bible. The Bible is a unique and special book because it doesn't just contain words about God. It contains the very words of God himself. The world around us, its beauty and diversity, tells us there's a God or creator, but the Bible tells us much more clearly about this God and tells us what he is like. God speaks to us in the Bible. So can I really encourage you to read the Bible, particularly if you haven't read it before, to allow God to speak to you through his word in the Bible and to see for yourself the unique and the special qualities of the Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, come and speak to one of the staff or leaders here. They'd love to give you a Bible. And if a language other than English is better for you, let them know. They can help you find a Bible. So the second sign we have from God, through which God more clearly speaks to us, is the Bible. And now the third and the clearest way that God reveals himself to us, you could say the ultimate sign from God, is Jesus. So in Jesus, God the Son, around 2,000 years ago, stepped into human history. He was miraculously born in Israel as a baby. He grew up. He lived as a man for 30-something years. He died on a cross, and 3 days later, he returned to life. Jesus is God in the flesh, God in human form. He's the image of the invisible God. So if you want to know what God is like, then take a look at Jesus. Because seeing Jesus is seeing God. God shows us that he's there. He gives us hints of what he's like through the world that he's made. God speaks to us in the Bible, but God shows himself to us in Jesus. We see God most clearly in Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate sign from God. And Jesus is central to the whole Bible. So the parts of the Bible known as the Gospels, so the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, record the historical details of Jesus' life on earth and his death and resurrection. But Jesus is there right throughout the pages of the Bible. The Bible is ultimately about Jesus. And whilst Jesus' life is a great model of how to live, and his teaching has great truth and wisdom, what's especially significant about Jesus is his death and his resurrection, so his return to life after death, which is what we remember at Easter, which we've just celebrated these last few weeks. On the day we know as Good Friday, the beginning of Easter, we remember Jesus' death on a cross, taking the sin and shame of people like you and me who have broken relationship with God, who have made a mess of our relationship with God. And on Easter Sunday, we celebrate and remember Jesus' resurrection, his return to life after death, defeating sin and death, so that those who trust in him, those who give their lives to him, can have new life with Jesus and be welcomed into God's family. The death and return to life of Jesus almost 2,000 years ago is something unique and noteworthy. It's the ultimate sign from God. A child waiting to open their Christmas presents is so glad when Christmas Day finally arrives because their wait is over. they can now have what they've been waiting for. And if you've been waiting for a sign from God, wondering how he will speak to you, you too can be glad and rejoice, because you don't need to wait. God has already given us a sign, the ultimate sign, Jesus. And Jesus truly is unique. He's different to any other famous and important figure in human history, because he's the only person who has ever died and come back to life after a death, never to die again. In many ways, Jesus' life could be considered a very ordinary and unremarkable life. I mean, he was born to a poor and insignificant family in a small town in Israel 2,000 years ago. And Israel was just a small country at the time, still is a small country. Jesus had no formal education. He worked as a carpenter. He never owned a house. He never traveled far from the place where he was born. And yet, despite all this, Jesus' life has arguably had a greater impact on our world than that of any other person in history. His influence has spread right around the whole world. Our calendars count the number of years from his birth. So 2018 years after the birth of Jesus. Even now, 2,000 years later, the dates of Jesus' birth, so Christmas, and the dates of his death and resurrection, Easter, are celebrated every year by millions of people in many countries in our world. Today, millions of people willingly suffer and would even die for Jesus. So if you haven't heard about Jesus, if you don't know much about him, can I really urge you to find out more about Jesus? And the best way to do this is to read one of the biographies of Jesus from the Bible. And there's free copies of the book of Mark available for you to take here. So come and take a copy. Even better, meet together with other people to learn about Jesus together. So you could meet up with another Christian student or staff worker, or join a small group, maybe go to a church to learn about Jesus. So come and speak to someone if you're interested in doing this. Now, we spend some time thinking about Jesus as the ultimate sign from God. And I hope you've been encouraged to think more about Jesus and to find out more about him. Though maybe you're not waiting for a sign from God. Maybe you're not even sure if God exists. But you're waiting for something. You feel like there's something missing in your life. You have the feeling that there's more to life than what you see everyone around you doing. Studying hard to get a good job, get married, have kids, buy a house, buy a car, go on holidays. You're looking for something you think will give your life real meaning and significance, something that will satisfy you. And if this is you, I'd like to suggest that what you're waiting for, what will ultimately satisfy you and give your life meaning, is Jesus. Now, I've been a Christian now for many years, and so one of the key reasons, one of the foundational reasons I'm a Christian, is because I believe that Christianity is true. So I believe that what the Bible tells us about Jesus is true. So 2,000 years ago, there's good evidence that someone called Jesus really lived. He died on a cross. 3 days later, came back to life. So whether or not I like these ideas, whether or not I want to believe them or not, I can't avoid the fact that these are objective historical facts, things that really happened. But another big reason that I'm a Christian is because only Jesus truly satisfies our deepest needs. Now, like many of you, all my life I've been chasing pleasure and fulfillment, looking for what would make me happy, what would satisfy me. And so when I was in school, I thought what would bring me happiness and satisfaction was success and achievement, getting good grades, succeeding in sport and music and things like that. So I worked and studied hard. I was one of the top students at James Roos, successful at sport and other things. And in a way, these things were good and gave me some satisfaction. But I still felt that there was something missing in my life. And this feeling kept growing while I was in university. And at that time at university, from the outside, people might have looked at my life and thought that it was pretty good. So at that time, I was studying medicine at Sydney University. I was on track to a good career. I was popular, had lots of friends, an active social life, went to lots of parties. But deep inside, I felt something was missing, that there was much more to life. So I'd been, at that stage, I'd been going to church for a while. I called myself a Christian. But that time, I began to think much more deeply about all these big questions of life. Who am I? What am I here for? What's the meaning of life? I started to look more seriously into Christianity and the Bible and Jesus. And I started to read the Bible every day, really seeking God. And at that time, God in His grace began to open my eyes. And the truth for the Bible that I'd known and that I'd believed for many years started to come to life for me. They were no longer just facts and ideas in my head, but they were things that started to impact my heart and change my life. I started to see how amazing Jesus is. You could say I began to fall in love with Jesus. And I began to feel a deep sense of joy, peace, and satisfaction that I'd never experienced before. And my life slowly began to change. Instead of this restless, anxious striving for success and fulfillment, going from one party to the next, seeking one achievement after the next, there was a sense of peace and satisfaction and just thankfulness for the life that I had. Instead of constantly just thinking about myself and my needs, I started to think more about others and how I could serve and care for them. And these changes didn't happen suddenly or instantly. They took time over the years to gradually happen. You see, the message of Jesus, of who he is and what he's done, isn't just interesting historical facts. It's amazing, life-changing truth that has changed the lives of millions of people all around our world, all different kinds of people, men and women, young and old, rich and poor, successful and unsuccessful. Jesus not only satisfies our heads in an intellectual way, but he satisfies our hearts and our deepest desires. Now, Jesus tells a story in the Bible that captures what it's like to be a Christian. And I'll finish up with this over the next few minutes. So it's in the part of the Bible called Matthew, so one of the Gospels or biographies about Jesus. And here it is, Matthew 13:44, where Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." Now, this is a very short but vivid story describing what it means to be a Christian, someone who's part of the kingdom of heaven. And now, the story doesn't tell us a number of details like, you know, what treasure did this man find? Or why didn't he just take the treasure? Why did he go to the trouble of hiding it again and buying the field? Because what's important isn't these details, but the main point of the story. And that is, finding something so valuable, you'll give up everything else for it. Now, an important detail that we don't want to miss in this story is the attitude of the man. So listen again as I read the story again. Pay special attention to what the man's feeling. So it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then, in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field." You see, the man isn't feeling sad about what he's giving up. He's not there reluctantly selling all that he has. No, he joyfully gives up everything he owns because he's found something far better, something worth giving up everything for. And this is what it's like to be a Christian, finding a treasure, Jesus, that is so much better than everything else. Now, many years ago when we were still in school, my sister at the time asked the older man who taught her Bible study group a question. She asked him, "What's it like to be a Christian?" And his answer was, "It's like being in love." And that answer really stuck with me, firstly, because I thought it was a strange sort of answer. And I guess as a young kid at the time, I didn't really know much about love or what it meant to be in love. But as I've got to know Jesus better, as I've grown up, as I've grown in my faith in Jesus, I found what this older Christian man said to be very true. Because being a Christian is like being in love. Christianity is not just a religion. It's not just about rules and doing lots of religious activities. Instead, it's a relationship. A relationship with the most amazing person who ever lived, Jesus, God in human form. Jesus isn't just a historical figure who died 2,000 years ago. He came back to life. He's alive right now, so we can have a living and real relationship with him. Now, I've been married now for 12 years, very thankful for that, and I think I have a good relationship with my wife. I really love her. She loves me. And yet for both of us, our relationship with Jesus is more special to both of us than our marriage. In fact, we think it's the key thing that helps us to have a better marriage. See, being a Christian is about being in relationship with Jesus. It means being identified with Jesus, taking on his name, hence the term Christian, someone who trusts in and follows Jesus Christ. And as we trust in Jesus, as we join our lives to him, as we become part of his team, all that he is, all that he's done, becomes ours. We're united to him. We become a part of God's family. We were created by God for a relationship with him, and that's why having a relationship with God through Jesus is the only thing that truly satisfies. Only Jesus truly satisfies our deepest needs. But being a Christian, following Jesus, is also something that's very challenging and costly. It involves surrender and sacrifice. Like the man in Jesus' story who found the treasure, getting the treasure involved sacrificing everything else that he had. And once he'd made that decision, there was no going back, no chance to change his decision. Following Jesus is a lifelong commitment. It involves every single part of you, surrendering control of your life to Jesus. It's making Jesus the boss or the master of your life. Like going perhaps from having your own company or business where you are the boss, where you make the decisions and decide what happens, to joining Jesus' company, which happens to be a much bigger and much better company, but a company where he's in charge, where he makes the decisions. Following Jesus means choosing to live for Jesus rather than yourself. It means making your life about Jesus' priorities, about his agenda rather than your own. So trusting Jesus is a costly decision that involves surrender and sacrifice, but it's giving up things in order to gain something better, something worth giving up everything else for. We can restlessly run after and chase after other things, like money, career, pleasure, sex, things we think will make us happy and satisfy us. But these things ultimately will not truly satisfy us, because only Jesus truly satisfies. So how about you? Are you waiting for a sign from God, something that will convince you that God is real and he's there? Are you waiting for something more from life, something that will deeply and truly satisfy you? Do you know Jesus? Do you know the joy and satisfaction that only he can give? And if you haven't trusted and given your life to Jesus, I'd like to urge you today to seriously consider this. So come and speak to me or some of the other leaders or staff or students here at Focus or Credo. Come and ask us questions, learn more about Jesus, get a copy of Mark's Gospel or the Bible to read, meet up with someone, join a group that will help you find out more about Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate sign from God, the one who shows us what God is like, the one who satisfies our deepest need, the one worth giving up everything else for. How are you responding to Jesus? Please join with me as we pray.